I titled this particular message for the day, God's Favor. God's Favor. Do you really want it? And as usual, I will start off with way back when. There was at one time, brethren, during the mid-1950s, I remember that I wanted to become a Cub Scout, and later on I wanted to become a Boy Scout. But you know, neither one of those things happened. Some of you may have been members of these groups at one time or the other, I don't know. But neither one of those things happened. I was about the age of, if I remember correctly, about 7 or 8 years of age. And I remember that I wanted to be part of something that was good, even at age 7 or 8. I wanted to be part of something that would help do things, whatever that was. And the only thing back then I could remember was Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts. I think the girls had the Girl Scouts and so forth. I wanted to do such things as go camping and have friends of that like manner that enjoyed it also. But I didn't have that many that were doing things like that. But I did the closest that I can remember ever to doing anything like the Boy Scouts or the Cub Scouts was an organization, and this happened a little bit later on, known as the Royal Ambassadors. It was a Christian organization, and I believe it still exists someplace. And I have mentioned that place at one time or the other in times past. But I remember my brother and I, we joined this group of 8 to 10 young men. And we went to their meetings. We learned a lot of good moral conduct and ideals. And we did what we could to be good young ambassadors, as the name of the group. We wanted to be young ambassadors for Christ of that time in the mid-50s. And we just wanted to be good, obedient to our parents, and be respectful to others and so forth, even at that age. But we actually did. One time, I do remember, we had a camping, and I'll use the word excursion because it sounds fancy. We actually went on a camping excursion or a camping trip one weekend in this organization, starting on a Friday afternoon. And yet before that had even occurred, before we even left, that organization helped teach us some things that we may need to have to make this trip an adventure in our attitude and in actual activities that would be done. We learned on-the-spot training how to set up a tent, which I have since forgotten. And we learned how to make our own sleeping bags rather than go out and buy one, or whatever the price was back then. And I thought, well, this is what I really want to do. And I learned good things to do or to think about in that process. And as I said, I was about 7 or 8 years of age at that time. Now, I want you to stay with me because I don't want to bore you to death, but we'll see where we go. And though that weekend seemed like it started to be like a rainy one on that, I think it was that Friday evening. At one point, it became a situation that it was a touch-and-go situation. What are we going to do? Is it going to rain? Are we going to have to forget all this and go back home? Well, it turned out that what little rain we got didn't last. The sun came out, and it began to be a Very rewarding weekend. We set up our tents. We placed our homemade sleeping bags, threw them in the tents. And as that sun began to come out more and more, I remember we even played that Saturday afternoon some softball. Then that Saturday night came. We had a big campfire, roasting marshmallows and burning hot dogs that could have been a sacrifice to Modoc. We sung a lot of campfire songs. We were taught moral and spiritual lessons by two of our royal ambassador coaches. And it was a fun trip. Never had done that before. But later, as we went to bed, I remember that the ground was a little damp and it was a little rocky. We didn't have no cushions to sit. It was just flat tent. And it was rocky. And it became an adventure, brethren. One that I felt would never end. That was the longest night of tossing and turning. You know, kind of remind me of Opie Taylor on Andy Griffith Show when he slept between two chairs. That's adventure sleeping. Yeah. Well, that was a moment in time, brethren, that had its good times and its bad moments. And it was that time that I have been able to recall as if it was a few weeks ago, though it really has been over 60 years ago. My, how time has flown by. I felt that I had been part of something that was educational, and it was fun to do at that same time. I was young, but I couldn't label the thoughts, but that's pretty much what I thought. It was something I had chosen. Keep that word in mind. I had chosen to do. It had really been a good experience in my life as we learned to become good young men. There's about 8 to 10 of us. And that would be mentally, morally, and spiritually learning to put God's ways, as far as we knew God's ways, in our lives, even in these younger years of times that have gone by. Whether we are parents, guardians, or an organization that tries to do and teach young people good things to do and believe, and morals and so forth, it reminded me of Proverbs 22:6 that can be applied here. Because we read in Proverbs 22:6, to train up a child in the way he or she should go. And when they are older, and I'm paraphrasing, when they are older, they may choose not to depart from that way. Still is a choice. Now, brethren, we here, in this aspect of God's church, we are part of something much bigger than we are as we aim for the kingdom of God. We can participate in what God, through His church, has to offer us for our well-being, especially for our spiritual well-being, as part of that family that God is creating in our minds and even in our children and our young people's minds, in various programs, brethren, designed for them. And for us, whether it's here at home office or wherever it may be. And in time, as we become part of that eternal family of God, that spiritual family. We are aiming for, every day of our lives, we will assist Christ in teaching many people the truths of God and His plan for mankind. That even our children, our young people, may become part of as they grow into the way they should go. Will they choose to follow this way or not? Will your child, as he or she grows and becomes more mature, will they choose this way? You know, God gives us free will to follow Him or not. And even with the clear signs of the results of obedience or of disobedience are there, God said, you obey me, blessings will come. You don't obey me, then you'll be cursed at one time in one way or the other. But even though the clear signs of obedience or disobedience are there, what will you always choose? What will our ever-growing children and young people, what will they come to choose at the time they need to make that choice? There's a principle, at least to me, exists that stands clear and certain once we all become old enough to choose and decide what's going on. For in Galatians 6, verse 7, God says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. God is not going to be fooled. For whatever a man or a woman or children that grow up in this way, for whatever a man or woman sow in their lives, they will reap. Be it good or be it bad. What do you and I choose to do at this moment? What about next week, next month, when things don't go your way? When you don't know why things happen? What will our children, our growing children, and our young people come to choose to do? Because it will come down to it. They will have to choose. You can't choose for them. You can lead them. But you can't choose for them. Understand God's ways. His way does not include, or does include rather, the lesson that blessings will come, but perhaps not instantly. For God teaches, brethren, that we need to grow in faith, in patience, and endurance in this growing process. And there's a rub. It's not an easy trip. For brethren, even in disobedient times we may have, the reaping may not be instant. But it will happen. It will come. After all, God does help us to choose His ways. He helps us to choose. He gives us His Spirit. He gives us His knowledge. But He will not force people to choose it, nor your growing children. Because they have to grow, not just physically, but they have to grow mentally, spiritually, maturely. They have to be taught morals. They have to be taught sometimes the path less taken by so many people. But they must be taught God's ways sooner or later by whatever means. but they will have to choose as they continue this path or not. Now we here today, we here will have the opportunity coming, and I understand it's already come one time, but I don't know where I was at, but we have an opportunity that is coming to participate in a function that your presence and your participation is vital, even our children. But it will need your presence and your participation for it to succeed. For as I understand it at this time, after a certain sermon is given, maybe not every week, but after a certain message is given, we will have the opportunity to talk about it, to discuss amongst us what we have just heard. Might be a little break there, and then we'll come back. And we'll talk about it, the pros and the cons and the whats and the whers and how comes and whatever. I feel this is our opportunity to be part of something that is bigger than we are. As we all aim for the kingdom of God and that wonderful world of tomorrow, and as we gain more spiritual understanding in that process, stick with me. So anything worth doing, brethren, I feel should be worth doing well. In fact, even God says that. Everything should be done in decency and in order. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. As a lot of things, it may start off a little slow. As we even learn how to participate in this particular function. Yet in time, it should grow as God's kingdom will grow in that wonderful world tomorrow. And it will, I imagine, like many things God does, it may start out as that mustard seed of Mark 4:31. For as a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds that is sown upon the earth, it grows. It grows to be the largest of all garden plants, and it puts forth, as it reads, great branches, so that the birds in the skies, they will nest in its shade. And this study of a message given is not a time, brethren, to worry about your comments. It's not a time to see who gives the better comment. But it is a time to help each other to stimulate God's Spirit in you or around you, being the case, as iron sharpens iron in our service to each other. In our service to each other. In some cases, it could be those words fitly spoken that can be like apples of gold in settings and silver, as you read in Proverbs 25. We can learn from each other. Don't necessarily learn just because someone's up here waving his hands. For if a subject is not your cup of tea at that moment, then just listen. Now, I'm not sure when our pastor will begin this process completely, but I figure let's begin to become excited about this, as this is another way, brethren, that we can grow in God's truth. And we need to be part of that program. After all, it's for your benefit. It's for our benefit. That we all grow in God's knowledge with the outcome to be, brethren, in case we forget, immortal spiritual teachers in the coming kingdom of God. It would be nice if we could follow Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever your heart finds to do in this situation, do it with all your might. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart unto the Lord. Now, I could sit up here and quote all this stuff all day long, but is it going in one ear and out the other? What will you do, brethren? What will your growing children come to do? If you put effort into it in this program, brethren, you will grow in God's favor, as we read in 2 Peter 3:18. For friends, when it is all said and done, isn't that what we really want?